Not just anybody. You know, I need someone. When I was young, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. I'm out of the change of mind. I'm open up the door. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio, this 15th day of July, 16th, actually. We're going to be talking with three special guests, John Carman, former Secret Service, Brian Davidson, private investigator from Texas, and hopefully we'll be joined by Dr. Catherine Horton, who's a particle physicist from Oxford, all of whom have had interesting and important observations to make. We begin with John, who has some breaking news. John, share with us, what's the latest? John, we can't hear you. You're muted.
No, I know. I was typing an urgent message. Is there a way to put the picture on chat, a picture of the actual suspect that was killed, not Thomas Matthew Crooks?
Yeah, I can make you host, and you can do a screen. Here it is, John.
I have it on a copy and paste mode. If I could do that.
And it is up. John, you got it? I mean, I made you a host. Can you do it or no?
Yeah, let me open it up again bigger so I can do the chat part, because I don't think I could share it on the chat as a copy and paste. It's not doing it that way.
Well, why don't you tell us what it shows?
Well, I got the photograph from another source this morning, law enforcement type. The FBI is identifying Thomas Matthew Crooks as the alleged shooter, when that's not the guy that was shot on top of the roof. It's not,
okay.
It's another guy by the name of Matthew Yerrick. Matthew, I'm writing it down on a napkin here just to make sure I got it in front of me. Matthew Yerrick, Y-E-A-R-I-C-K. Maybe you guys could Google that while you're on your computer. Is a totally different guy. That's why I had another gentleman saying, oh, that's not the same. The hair color's darker and all this. Well, without us getting closer on a close-up picture, we can't tell. The guy's ears are almost like bitten off at the edges. He obviously got hit with a high-powered rifle, blood everywhere, teeth missing, all kinds of stuff, whatever happened. That's not the guy that came out with a video that they thought was Crooks. So now we have two shooters that I'm aware of identifying. They don't have it on the news media. I'm waiting on a call right now, literally from one of the major news stations. And if you pull it up, they have it on the internet. Matthew Yerrick, the one that was deceased, pending or not about some stand down order that we can discuss, is the person that's associated with Antifa. Two guys, long hair, not unsimilar, but they're not the same person. It's obvious to me it's not the same. Even the guy has, I think he has earplugs. If you've seen some of the people that like to shove large objects in their earlobes and other decorative type stuff in their ears. So this is hot information, and it came from another source that I trust, law enforcement type. And you could tell if you put the two together, and I put it on my Facebook just to show the difference so people could take a look at it. And I'll go back to my picture. The jawline, the facial structure, the eye color, and all that are different. The other guy wears glasses.
Well, what's a skinny on this second alleged shooter?
Well, the actual shooter they got, I'm sorry, one of the shooters they got and shot and killed, that is Matthew Yerrick. But the FBI, controlled
I'm asking you, John, who is Matthew Yerrick?
He's the one that's the one that was shot on top of
no,
the
no,
roof.
No. What is his background? What
Oh,
is his background?
he's
Who is
connected to, hold on. He's connected to Soros supported Antifa. There you go.
Well, that the other guy was too. They were both supposed to be tied into Antifa.
Of course, yes. And what's interesting, Thomas Matthew Crooks versus Matthew Urich. They both have a Matthew in there, which is kind of interesting. But they're two different people. They're putting out the information. Even this guy, Crooks, put out a video saying, you got the wrong guy. I don't know if you had a chance to see that one. I've seen it, which means it's a psyop. You know, there's a nice term, psyops. They make you think one thing. They put a decoy shooter up on top of the roof. This is like the Lee Harvey Oswald and all the other
gunmen. Yeah. I think it's obvious the guy on the roof was the patsy, that there was a delay, I don't know, 42 seconds before he was taken out. They had to wait until the real shooter fired before they shot him. And that's why the delay, it was absurd. There were spectators there were calling out, saying this guy, he had to walk up there. He had to put up a ladder. He had to climb up. They had a local cop allegedly went after him and then got scared off. It's just about as absurd as it gets. Catherine. John's a former Secret Service. He's giving us the latest update about there having been a second party. Are they both dead, John, or only one dead?
Only one so far. They've arrested four people, but I'm worried that the other guy got away. But if they're identifying the deceased shooter, alleged shooter on top of the roof, then what happened to the other guy that they went to their house? We don't know that that's true because the FBI is setting this fake investigation.
Catherine, you seem to be on top of this. Tell us your thoughts about
this.
Well,
I'm still investigating. I'm very interested because I told you, Jim, yesterday that I'm a physicist. I've never fired a weapon. I'm from Europe. I've never owned a gun, never been near a gun. So I'm just using what I know as a physicist. And I was trying to identify how many shooters there were. And there are three phases. One is being fired by what sounds like the first three shots, the same supersonic weapon, probably with a suppressor, right? But it's supersonic. You can hear the, you hear the bullet before you hear the gunshot. After that, there's a volley of shots, and I don't have the audio software to tell them apart, but there are gunshots at the end, two or three gunshots that I can hear almost as an echo that seem to be too delayed to be associated with any supersonic shot from the same weapon that got fired. Also the firing speed, I'm not sure if you could trigger, with a rifle that fast. It sounded like there were two shooters, but then there's an 8 second gap and then there's a final shot. And this time you just hear one shot. It's just like, tsk, and then a woman starts screaming immediately. Either she got shot or somebody had their brains blown out right next to her. And that sound profile sounds nothing like the first rifle that fired the third shot. So from that alone, there are at least two gunmen positioned in different places. One definitely shot somebody and made a woman scream. The other one grazed Trump's ear. And then there's a volley of shots. I can't really tell what it is. Some of the gunshots that I hear could be the police sniper team firing back. But it's very confused. It would make sense because you only see the gunshot, but not the bullet, because the bullet went the other way. But I'm really interested to find out those who have fired weapons and, are familiar with the sound profile. How many shooters did you identify?
We have two forensic reports about analyzing the sound of the shots for three different weapons, which is consistent with what you're saying. Brian, you're my go-to man here. Now tell me, what is your assessment of the situation?
First of all, a lot of the work I've done so far has not has been independent. I tend to take an approach where I look at download. First step is download all the earliest and most reliable evidence you can. right now we're getting a lot more video and audio as more of the people that were in the crowd and in the surrounding area upload their cell phone video. So it the files are expanding every day. And the idea is to put all those pieces together into something that we can, you know, we have the gunshots and the audio analysis that will allow us to synchronize everything to, you know, within a few frames of exactly what took place. But on this issue that we're talking about with the gunshots, Catlin Gregoris is the director of the National Center for Media Forensics at the University of Colorado in Denver, and her and Paul Whittington got together and did some audio analysis. And they are saying that they confirmed that the gunman was 360 to 393 feet from the podium. They're saying that there were three weapons fired at the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. So you've got weapon A that fired the first three shots, which we're assuming is what they're telling us is the guy on the roof. And I do believe now, looking at that early interview with the guy with the pink hair, the football coach, he swore up and down that that guy had fired those shots. So you've got a very strong early witness that says that from the roof, at least some of those shots were fired from his gun, from that gun. And he says so positively. The next five shots were consistent with what they're calling alleged weapon B. And the final acoustic impulse, which they're calling it instead of a gunshot, was emitted by what they consider to be possible weapon C. So I've always believed that the guy on the roof was a patsy, number one. And it's just speculation and conjecture at this point, but number one, why select an AR-15? To me, it's sort of the boogeyman of all weapons. It's not a good fit for shooting from a prone position over a rooftop at 150 yards. This is deer hunting country up there in Butler, Pennsylvania. And I imagine that if somebody was going to set themselves up for a shot like that, it would be as simple as grabbing whatever deer rifle comes around. And that AR-15 is not the one that I would reach for under those circumstances. Number two, he's such a convenient patsy. How did he get on the roof? Who assisted him? There's all obviously all those questions that the rest of the media is taking a look at and the rest of the researchers are taking a look at. The story that he acted alone, which is what the FBI announced yesterday, less than 20 hours after the event took place, indicates that they have not conducted a serious investigation of any sort, because you would not know that. Additionally, as Laura Loomer reported, his cell phone is at Quantico right now, and they're unable to break into it, is what they're telling us. So how do you conclude that somebody acted alone within 20 hours of an event? And that indicates to me that he was set up as a patsy. We do know that he has some sort of BlackRock ties somewhere along the way and has been vocal in terms of his outspoken derangement related to Trump, has been picked up and captured on multiple different videos. They did say that he was, you know, your bullied kid at school because he dressed strange. Those were some early witnesses that gave that. So it makes it for a good situation for an MK Ultra PSYOP type guy to get plugged in a situation like that. I can tell you that they also said that a local police officer followed him up the ladder. And then when Crooks pointed the AR-15 at him, the local police officer, you know, ran away expecting that somebody else was going to take the thing. So we see a comedy of errors, but then the one big thing that stands out to me is, of course, everybody's telling us it's Matthew Crooks. It's Matthew Crooks. It's Matthew Crooks. It's Matthew Crooks. And, you know, that feels a little bit strange given that there hasn't been enough investigation to determine what really happened here. So it feels like a patsy to me, but of course we're less than 48 hours out of this, and this is the research that's conducted.
I'm especially disturbed by them announcing there was only one shooter and no conspiracy. That indicates to me they were, the Biden admin itself was involved in this. John, when they saw that shooter on the roof, he had to be taken out immediately. They don't sit around and wait till for him to get off some shots. I mean, isn't this just a grotesque violation of SOP for presidential or candidate security?
Of course. I've told this before. if I was there and I see somebody with a gun and they're not Secret Service, and they're certainly not going to be allowed that close, even law enforcement looking like the guy that profiled and everything, it's real simple. I'm going to tell somebody, take the shot, boom, that's it. And there's a thing about going around right now, but somebody had to get permission. And then they told somebody to stand down. On an encrypted radio, they've got code words. I'm not going to go into code words, but encrypted radios are very, very unique, especially with Secret Service. I mean, somebody can't go on there and just say, okay, stand down. It's going to be a code word, such and such, stand down, blah, 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 blah. That's BS. That's a violation right there. That's high treason. Interfering with a federal officer in the performance of his duty by having somebody do that. I had somebody at Customs do that. I have an example. Somebody told me not to chase somebody on a Customs radio. I said, identify yourself. That went out over sector, all over Southern California and probably somewhere else back east. They wouldn't identify themselves if the transmission was recorded. Don't chase anybody that comes through at a certain area. I said, no, you identify yourself. And of course, I didn't obey that unlawful order anyway. So putting in perspective with Secret Service, we have the ultimate authority. We have to take the shot. We're not going to wait for somebody to take the first shot. That's TV BS that the left wing wants to play games with. A lot of agitators out there, you know.
Needless to say, when you ask cui bono, who benefits, it's a Democrat Party. They've been after Trump forever. You had Biden recently talk about putting a bullseye on Trump. That's like an invitation to assassination. There's a quote now from some Democrat Party official saying, why should we be concerned if a registered Republican takes a shot at the GOP nominee? I mean, that's just ridiculous. Catherine, your thoughts?
I've got so many questions. I'm really burning because I spent, I think, on the 13th, Bill Binney and I, we just sat down for late lunch and suddenly we saw this. And since then, I was up until 7 a.m. the following morning looking at all the footage I could find, because from what I call the cartel signaling, so this is the coded, you know, Masonic code that is all over the world. Every false flag has these Masonic codes. And I identified a couple. For example, the first guy to speak about this in the very early hours was this guy, the DA called Goldinger. Now, why would the DA be the first one to speak about this? Okay, but the CNN people, the Fox News people had to spell his name, Goldinger, because when you hear that, you immediately think Goldfinger, as in James Bond reference. But on CNN, the subtitles actually did spell out Goldfinger. So there's an MI6 reference right now, and I'm trying to teach people that really, it's not just the Democratic Party, there's a superstructure in old Europe that's much older, much bigger than them. So there's one James Bond reference right there. There's also the fact that he's called crooks, like Bernie Madoff with billions, right? Madoff with billions. This guy's called crooks. Okay, so, you know, in every single one, there's some sort of bullshit like that. For most intellectual people, it is so dumb and, you know, pegged at such a low level. They're like, that can't be true. But this organized crime cartel, historically, their members were pickpockets and whores, okay? So you have to, when you build up a global transnational criminal organization, most of your employees are rather dumb. So the universal language that you have to use has to be pegged to the lowest common denominator. So that's one thing. But after being up all night, I didn't find the smoking gun I was looking for, but I found it yesterday at last, which is, to me, it's pretty clear, you know, the intel agencies did it. So English is my third language. So my question to you guys is, how do you spell inside job? Is it CIA or FBI, right? But yeah, that aside, I think it's MI6, really, you know, it doesn't matter who they hire. But the point is, yesterday, finally, I found smoking gun evidence that yes, the intel agencies were there and were involved and did that. Because, and let me go back to the drone bombing of a Caracas parade, all right? Maduro was speaking, and then you can see the podium, the bomb, or this little drone goes poof in the air, making a big old boom, military people around him, all the military guys who are used to go, if things going boom, boom, go, what the hell? And there's one guy in the back in a sleek suit, clearly intel, saying to another military guy who also hadn't moved, like, come on, let's go, right? Like this, no reaction. So from the fact that those two had no reaction, you knew they were involved, they were there watching, pulling everything off. So you start your investigation with these people. And yesterday I finally found somebody in the podium behind Trump who ducked before everybody else. It's a woman who was on the left. The first shot is fired. After the first shot, people are like, what the fuck, crackers, whatever. You know, there was one guy who clearly had military training or was an ace hunter. He was right at the below this woman, next to a policewoman. And he said, he was interviewed and he said, he ducked immediately after the, at first he thought firecrackers, then he ducked. On the ground, he said to a policewoman, was that a 22? And I thought, oh, I love the Americans. In any other country apart from Switzerland, the first question people would ask is, was that a gun? But in the US, is, was that a 22? I thought, oh, bless his heart, I love the Americans. So anyway, that guy clearly had training, but it took him some time to duck. And yet you look at this and it's in the I think it's the CNN, all those TV shots where they show the police snipers on the roof. They put the big circle around the police snipers. You can see how one guy lifts his head and seems to like recoil in shock when the shots start being fired, right? The other guy next to him recedes instead of firing back. That's interesting. But then in exactly when the first shot gets fired, a blonde woman on the left-hand side already ducks. And not just that, makes the woman in front of her duck also with her arm. So basically my point in all this is that if it's an intel operation, you have your insiders, you have the snipers, but you also have a huge support team that will have infiltrated all the, you know, the attendees. They will look like attendees, but they know that Trump will get shot that day. They don't want to have brain matter splattered on their makeup and their beautiful dresses, right? And they just don't want to be part of it, right? They're women. They want to duck. And boom, there she is. She's ducking. So I would start the investigation with her little face because she had advanced knowledge of this.
Love it, Catherine. Love it. Brian, your further thoughts.
Well, I do. My instinct is that there was plenty of people that were read in on the fact that there would be an event taking place on that particular day. So I do think there was foreknowledge. Of course, you have the guy with the astounding prophecy, but that doesn't exactly count in terms of evidence, although it is shocking what he was able to say in advance of this. Related to
sorry,
even
who was
Trump
that? I missed that here. Completely.
There's a guy that made a prophecy, you know, a church guy that made a prophecy a couple of months ago that Trump would be shot in the ear, but he wouldn't be killed, he wouldn't be taken out. It was astounding accuracy, frankly. But on this, I think there's some other indicators that the other people had foreknowledge related to the event. Now, as for coverage of where the quote-unquote shooter shot from, the Secret Service has now come out and said that that wasn't our responsibility. That was the local police who were supposed to secure that particular area in Butler, and the Secret Service is saying, hey, that wasn't our responsibility to cover that. You can tell the snipers are obviously lined up in position looking at that building from the video, looking behind Trump. So there is... And the shooter was on the roof for a solid, that sounds like about 2 minutes prior to being capable of firing off a shot, which I just don't find credible in any of this. I do think there was probably a third device, which is what the acoustical evidence has indicated so far. The other thing is the Secret Service is claiming that this entire thing is, you know, local police are responsible for it. This is Butler. This is the failure of the Butler, Pennsylvania Police Department. So you'll see a lot of that continuing, you know, day by day. Again, when I go to weight evidence, it's the earliest and most reliable evidence that gets the heaviest weight in terms of authenticity and reliability. You know, even coming along later and seeing some sort of police report that says somebody said this or the Secret Service says that, all that, you know, that maybe gets 10% weight compared to the 90% weight that comes from your earliest and most reliable evidence. So again, the first step whenever you see a major event like this take place is begin downloading, know your procedures for downloading. How do you extract a YouTube video? How do you extract from Twitter? I use Video Download Helper and a number of other tools to create my folders. And then once the folders I feel have enough of the earliest and most reliable evidence, you go back and put the pieces together. And that's when you'll begin to find pieces that have been modified, photoshopped, don't fit with the narrative, or explained away. And one of the things that's real consistent with these events is that there's going to be a large amount of disinformation put out there, little rabbit trails that we're supposed to chase that don't have a lot of credibility, that are designed to keep us off of the real scent. For instance, I have a suspicion that this New York Times photograph that was put out within 2 hours of the actual shooting that showed the trajectory of the actual bullet streaking through the air, doesn't feel quite right about that. It's like, hey, look over here. Now we know the trajectory of the bullet. As for whether or not Trump was hit, which was the big question, you know, I think the jury's still out in a sense. I mean, my instinct was that it looked legitimate in terms of getting hit in the ear, but then upon closer inspection, the ear didn't really continue to bleed as much as it ought to. By the time he got to the fist pump and the shake and the fight, his collar was still white as can be. And you'd think even with getting the ear nicked, there would be blood on the collar. But I just think everything happened so quickly and so correctly in terms of the way Trump responded that I tend to think that it was an authentic reaction to an authentic projectile.
We'll be right back. John Carman, Brian Davidson, and Dr. Catherine Horton, stand by.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners.
And you know, that's a little bit older than George, a couple of months older.
Is platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, 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 Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, while listeners at home cannot have seen it, I played a couple of, times a video of the shooting, and you can see the anti-sniper on the roof who's just waiting until after the shots have actually been fired at Trump before he takes them at him. It's just absurd and insulting. And we even have the path there he took. He put up the ladder to climb up on the roof. They're all played later. The interview with the Spectator said they were calling it out. And one of the interesting points about this Eric Prince recounting is he says, given that virtually every Secret Service protocol was ignored, not enforced, how did he miss? How did he fail? But I'm convinced he was just the patsy shooter. Catherine has her video. I'm going to have her play it momentarily, but John, you didn't have a chance to comment before the break. Go right ahead. Give us your further.
Yeah, your volume went down a little bit there, but I wanted you to see if you could play back the photograph of the area where you showed the water tower that nobody wants to show everybody, because you have to operate from the highest level in the area. They should have had that area also covered by Secret Service in addition to the roof. Those are Secret Service counter snipers or whatever, counter sniper CST teams. But if you were able to pull it up, I could tell you that would be the first place I would look for a sniper, would be at the highest level area in that area.
You got it.
Yeah, there's.
Hang on a second.
Sure. And I want.
There's the water.
Perfect. If everybody looked at what I'm seeing right now, you've got a large tower, like a water tower, past the area where they shot the alleged assassin or the shooter, which looks like it's this Matthew Yurick. Then they have other locations where they could be shooting, and they don't want you to see this. This is typical, like it was Dealey Plaza. They only want you to see a small piece of it, but when they back up, they go, oh my God, there's another area. That's standard. That means the Secret Service had to determine where the shots came from. And at that angle, at the highest tower, they were higher than the Secret Service. That right there is a violation of their logistics. They should have had Secret Service at the top of that tower and cleared it and made sure nobody was even there anyway. Clear shot. Those guys had a clear shot, whoever it was, from a distance up there. So they thought they were getting the actual shooter on the rooftop. Two different scenarios, and people wouldn't believe it until I just explained it, because it's right there.
Here's Eric Prince's observation, which, looking at the circumstances in favor of Thomas Matthew Crooks, the identified alleged suspect in the attempted assassination of Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, it's hard to see how the guy failed. Almost every Secret Service security protocol seemed to have been ignored, allowing Crooks easy access to a perfect shooting position and plenty of time to acquire a bead on Trump's podium. No doubt about it, John. I mean, don't you find this incredibly offensive then, Catherine, John? I mean, it's so blatant that this was allowed to happen. I mean, anyone can see it. It doesn't require an expert on Secret Service protocols to call this one.
That's how stupid they think people are, that they're going to do it away. But as I explained, the tower is what I would look at, and then other alternate locations. The guy on the rooftop was a decoy. That's what they shot at. And Catherine was nicely explaining the fact that what she saw. And I broke it down before. These guys were the counter sniper team. They were looking at somebody on the scope. Then they heard the shots go off. The guy looks up real quick. Where's that coming from? Then he went back, assuming he shot the guy from that point on. But that was the decoy. Then after that, but if they put an order out in between not to do something, that's a violation of protocol right there. Whoever gave the order is subject to interfering with an agent and all these laws and high treason.
Yeah, Dealey Plaza. It was Emery Roberts who was in charge of the Secret Service detail and called back agents who were wanting to respond to the sound of shots. He was a key player. He left two agents behind at Love Field. They didn't weld the manhole covers. They left the windows open. They let the crowd spill into the street. There were all these major violations of Secret Service protecting protocols. And here it was as blatant as it could be, Catherine.
Could you please go back to the image of the water tower and the where they marked the shooter? Because that diagram is, again, one of their misdirections. And it's quite, that one is easy to spot. So first of all, here's the Karen on the left, you know, the lady who can't holster her gun. But anyway, I'll get onto that. But if you look at this diagram with the orange dot at the bottom, that's not where the dead shooter is. He is in the top third of the metal roof. He's not on this side, crowd side. He's the water cooler side. And I know that for a fact because there are aerial shots showing the car park behind this, and the ladder is between that tree and that little roof connector. There's an actual ladder that you can see. So the dead body is not down here. Exactly, it's right there where your cursor is right now. That's where the dead body is. Now, the reason why that's relevant, a little bit, I don't know the exact 3D setup, but between the police snipers and the location of the ultimate ball, where the dead body is lying right now, there's a tree in between. There's a tree in between. So if you actually look at Google Maps, at this angle, the snipers have a clear shot just a bit further up. And it very much depends on how the tree looks in 3D, how high the branches start. But it very much looks like the fattest part of the tree is... you know, I'll try to find a better one. And when you look at these different aerial photographs, you realize that at this angle, it can be seen, that shooter could be seen by police snipers. At the other angle, the tree might just cover it. I saw one aerial drone footage where the drone hovered above the dead body and then zoomed out between two trees. And then back to where the snipers were. Yeah, here they're just covering it up. I'll try to find an actual diagram. But
yeah, good.
Look up where the dead body is. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you one more thing, or let me interject real quick. Even if another sniper was there, the angle of the bullet that they allegedly got on a digital where they slowed it down showed it zipping by. Yeah, all you have to do, it's real simple. You just follow the direction of the bullet at that level. Would be about up to about what, 10 feet, because he's standing on a platform, and draw a line straight back. That's where the shooter is. But yet the shooter that they shot was off to the far right on another building. So you got one shooter dead. You got a bullet coming at an angle parallel, but not coming from the tower. I wanted to point that out. So if it was from the tower, it's not going to go down and make a left right turn. So I'm trying to enhance my description.
It's like the magic bullet in Dallas, the absurdity. Brian, go right ahead. Brian.
Well, the absurdities come to no end, and there's probably 100 variables that you could place into it that show the absurdity of the official story so far. But basically what we've got is a random 20-year-old acting completely alone, walks within 150 yards of a presidential campaign rally while carrying an AR-15 dressed in shorts and a t-shirt. He then successfully climbs onto the rooftop in full view of all the Secret Service snipers, sets up his shot and fires without anyone intervening, except for the police officer who was climbing the ladder right behind him, who ran away in terror, apparently. He had no help from anyone whatsoever. He thought he could pull this off on his own and had no expectation of encountering resistance of any type. It just so happens that he's just your traditional non-radicalized Democrat young man who joined the local shooting club, as well as didn't get allowed onto the high school shooting team because he hit the wall. He's never posted any political writings or commentaries or any social media ever in his entire life. He wrote no manifesto and left behind no indication about why he would do it. And his last and only political act before attempting to kill the Republican candidate was to register as a Republican. So why are we bothering asking questions? I think the very important question here is, does this explain why Joe Biden intended to stay in the race? because he thought Trump would be assassinated successfully on this day.
John, go ahead, John. Yeah.
And I'm hearing what Brian's saying. He's got some good information as well. I'm profiling this stuff. It goes right back to James Earl Ray. James Earl Ray was another proxy shooter. Go to the hotel, James Earl Ray, with a gun, sit there and wait for a phone call. That's what the guy did in Memphis. And then they moved Martin Luther King up to the third floor. There's other details behind that. Jesse Jackson was involved and so forth.
Yes, he was.
That's all they did. A military team shot him. I'm going back to Dan Marvin, you know, the guy that wrote that book, the Green Beret guy, because it was a military operation. Then after they shot him, it's the same scenario. They got another guy in the trees who shoots Martin Luther King. Then they go to the hotel across the way. Oh, there's the guy, James Earl Ray. They arrest him. It's the same scenario, but they shot
him. That's a good comparison, John. Actually, I like that a lot. Martin actually wasn't dead on the balcony. And they took him to a hospital more distant than necessary, where a racist judge had said, if he's still alive, I'll finish him off. They brought him into the ER, and he chased everyone else and smothered Martin to death with a pillow. How bad is that? William Pamper has done a brilliant job. Catherine, exposing this. Yours.
Gosh. So, you know, isn't it funny that the guy, the school child who's being mocked for dressing in camo all the time and has really the typical profile of an arch Republican, you know, is used as a patsy. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I guess they found out that their blue haired, you know, identifying as a woman sort of guys couldn't really handle an AR-15. I mean, it's, you know, they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. But one of the things I also would like to talk about, I mean, there's so much. I have big questions to, you know, the guy, the big tall guy you always see next to Trump, the guy with the glasses, the guy who on that iconic shot is on his left. I have a question for him, because spectators, one interview with a spectator who said, we were here 4 years ago when there was another rally, Trump rally, just a couple of miles down from here. And my daughter and I, we were just stunned by the security. There were police snipers everywhere. It was such a show of force. And now there was nothing. There was two teams looking in two different directions, right? Now, my question to that main security guy, because the other thing I spotted is, if you look at the people who piled onto Trump, he was the senior guy. You had a little dinky little petite woman, and then you had a bunch of Gen Z kids, right? Maybe one Gen X, but he's the senior guy. So forget the kiddos. They don't know shit. My question to him is, when you walked on that field, having walked into a secured zone many times in your life, didn't you think, where the fuck is everybody? You know, Internet. Where the hell is everybody? Like, didn't you feel naked? Didn't you feel exposed? Didn't your instincts should have been like, you go there and you go, nope, we're going straight back to the car, straight back to the plane. Fuck this. This is ridiculous. We are in an open field in hunting country. I mean, what? You know, there's nobody around. The police snipers are looking at a roof, in the direction of a roof where there's a tree obscuring at least part of their view. You know, and what was the security ahead of time? You know, it's like, sir, there's a tree between us and this roof. And somebody said, nah, we're good, you know. So it's nonsense. But then what's even more nonsense, I would like to go back to the raw footage of what actually happened. So these people pile onto Trump. The other thing I would like to point out, a 78-year-old man ducked and reacted to three shots faster than the Secret Service. Right.
Yeah.
Faster than those guys who are from war zones. Right. I would expect them to just jump up and duck in the mid at 3 a.m. at night. Right. When they hear that stuff. Yet then eventually they pile on. OK, take some time to, you know, get over there. But then also, you know, what is it with all these women? It's insane. So the one shot photograph that Jim just showed, there's this left-handed woman, right, who is shown there completely not really knowing what her job is. She doesn't really pile on. She's just there not doing anything, waiting for instructions, looking terrified, right? And later on, when Trump is bundled into the car, she can't holster her own gun. She's like, okay, fuck it. I'll just hold it like that. And then later, eventually, she can do this, right? And then also when you saw when Trump finally stood up, the only reason he could address the crowd is because the young petite woman was in front of him. So he looked right across her, on top of her. So you're facing the crowd and there's a clean line of sight onto Trump's head from the crowd and from the entire big open field in the other rooftops because your bodyguards are too short, you know? I mean, it just didn't make any sense, you know?
Turns out the head of the Secret Service, a woman's done a lot of DEI hires of women who are actually not competent. They're not physically able. They're not mentally alert. They can't even holster their gun, as you observe. Now, I've made you host, Catherine, while John talks, right? You set up your video. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm listening to the way you guys are talking about this, and I look at it totally in a different way because of my background of training in the Secret Service. And
Course.
what Catherine was just saying is appropriately a good critique because I saw the same stuff. Why do they have this short female? What, she was the one with the short hair. She obviously looked a little overweight. I got another look at her. She had her vest on. She's playing around with the gun too much. I'm sorry. Shots are fired. You cannot hear the exact timing of the shot. That is the report of the sound when the bullet has already been released. So by the time you realize there was a shot fired, it's already zipped by. It's already gone. But when these agents responded, they were pretty quick, but they weren't there on the platform. That's the problem. They should have been on the platform. And then when the female agent was fiddling with her gun, you pull the gun out when there's a threat. You keep it out until the threat goes away. Until they get him into the vehicle, secured with a door and driving off, that's a separate team. But then I watched the one female with the short hair. Then I watched the female agent with the ponytail. That was so irritating to me because she was seen flipping her hair and her ponytail, looking left and right, like really, really quick back and forth. They're not supposed to have ponytails because they can be jerked down. Martial arts stuff, okay? But three females. So, in answer to Catherine's question, it's EEOC stuff, folks. They've been doing this for years, even in 74 when I was there. They'll hire one because it's a female. They need a female. If they need a black, they got to have a black. They got to have an Asian. They got to have a Native American, a Hindu, Pakistani, a Middle Eastern to
And they
fit.
don't care about their qualifications otherwise. All identity politics.
Exactly.
I see. Catherine, have you got it set up? Go ahead and play, and then we'll
Yes,
get.
I have it set up. But also, if you want to have DEI, hire some black dudes who were in the military. There's not a single black woman or guy. Everybody is very white
Well,
and
they've got
very
some. They've got
incompetent.
some. They're just on different details. They do have them, but
Yeah, like, but if you want to have a show of DEI-ness, you know, have
yeah.
tall, big, you know, hunking black
This was
guys.
such an obvious setup. They put all the doofuses out there in Butler so they
That,
could
that's
take
like saying put all the short guys on the same day that they're going to shoot at him.
want to block the sniper's vision, his line of sight. Catherine, go ahead. Go ahead. Go
Yeah,
ahead.
so you know, maybe it is some of these things that the tall guy who was next to Trump, or he's always next to Trump, he had to be there, and everybody who had two brain cells said, no, with this security setup, some shit's gonna go down. I will not be there on the day, you know, sending the women because they are dispensable, you know, who cares, right? They are useless anyway. But anyway, so let's I would like
Show
to
us,
move on to what
your video. Show us your
I would
video.
like to show the video here, and I have slowed down the footage, so I would like to share with sound. I hope it comes across well because we need to
Sure.
hear the timing. Oh, actually, I'm not sure how the window with the speakers shows up, but I'm interested in the right-hand side.
Canabra.
Can you see the right-hand side on the actual original footage? Because there's the sniper in the middle, but what I'm interested in is the crowd. So I will try to
Okay.
point out the woman here. Can you see my cursor?
Yes.
Okay, because sometimes Zoom shares it with the speakers
That,
on the right-hand side.
that's the woman you're interested in the
That
crowd?
is the woman I'm interested in the crowd. And then let me play this footage. So it's a blonde woman with sunglasses. There's a brunette with sunglasses, and there's a blonde woman right behind her on the row behind. And now
Go ahead.
watch what. Let's see. So it's slowed down to 25%. So when I play this, very slow.
His head up just before
Oh, sorry, here's the
shots
woman. That's the blonde
ring
woman here,
out
where my
at
cursor is.
6:15.
Okay, so shot fired, she
Oh,
goes
there she
down. Did you
is,
see that?
ducking down.
She's the only one who ducked. There it was. She's the only one who ducked. And then when you follow it, she actually pushes down another woman in front of her. I'm going to show it again. And sorry that it's so slow. So this is, it's this blonde woman here. She will put her arm on the head of this woman and then push her down as well. But
she
first she ducks herself.
When Trump was taken out. She wanted to witness, but she didn't want to be in the line of fire. Unbelievable.
And she, yeah. So yeah, again, there she is ducking. And if I pause it, she's the only one who's down.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This video is from.
Who would have thought of looking at the crowd for that, Catherine? I can't believe.
It took me a long time. I was looking for it. That's the only reason. But basically, if people want to see the video slowed down to 25%, this is the Wall Street Journal, and the video is called "How Donald Trump Attempted Assassination Unfolded."
Okay, so, John, go ahead, and I want to get Brian back.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I'm glad you pointed that out as well, because I also was studying the crowd reactions, scanning left and right, and it was so mixed up, you wouldn't believe it. Even that guy Fusco, or whatever his name is oblivious. He's standing there with a fedora in the crowd, looking left, looking right, looking down when the shots are going off. Then he's looking up as Trump's getting hit, while Catherine is pointing out the other people are, some people are ducking, not everybody. They're oblivious. They're busy watching the president. So they're getting fire from the right. Some are ducking. That is very astute, because if that person did that, that tells me a lot more about that person in the crowd. If they heard that, then something else happened, because two people in that very same area up above from that woman got hit and killed. One got killed, another one got injured. Catherine, was that the one that got injured?
I think
injured
that's a separate stand. This is the main stand, and there were two wings. I thought that the guy being killed was in the, so if we're looking at Trump, the left-hand wing.
Yes, upper yeah. Bleacher.
Yeah.
Bleacher.
Yeah. But this is the main stand right behind Trump.
It's the same one. The guy in the upper bleacher to the left was one that got killed. One below was a female that got wounded, and that's above the woman you're pointing out.
I really looked at the footage of him being carried out with some person
that's
being
later.
Carried out
yeah,
with the blood.
Later.
Yeah, I think it's the other stand. Anyway, this is the center stand for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's the one that we're concentrating. That's where the guy that got shot. It's the only one that's nearest where the shooting was coming from or to. And the guy in the upper left-hand corner of the bleacher, like two or three seats down, two or three rows. And I was watching for the guy that was up there prominently in a white shirt. He was the biggest guy standing up in that area. One of those people got hit, killed. A female allegedly got wounded. I thought it was a woman wearing blue. This woman that you're pointing out is reacting very quickly and putting the hand over the head of the woman next to her.
After the first shot.
Yes.
As soon as she hears the sound. So you have to expect the sound. Your brain takes a second to identify longer than a second to think, what is this? Do I have to duck? She knew she had to duck.
You know what? It doesn't make sense. When you try to explain this to other people, Trump's over in the front, in the foreground, and people are in the bleachers are getting shot in the background. Wait a minute. What's wrong with that? There are two shooters. Maybe there are three shooters.
John, the third shooter has got to be the marksman who takes out the shooter on the roof, right? I mean, there are three weapons. The third's got to be the shooter.
That's a good point.
I'm trying to get Brian in here to say a few words edgewise. Go for it, Brian.
Well, that particular area of the bleachers that you just pointed out, I do recall, I hope I downloaded it, but I do recall seeing an early reliable witness that was sitting in that part of the stands. I'd have to probably find their view, but I considered it to be an early reliable witness. However, I was on a job, so I couldn't download it into my files at that moment. He stated that that person was hit, fell down into the bleachers, and fell through the bleachers to the ground below. So apparently his position was that the medical techs got to him underneath the bleachers, and he had fallen through the bleachers. That would have been the way he described it, I thought, exactly where this blonde woman tends to go down. But it's just too early for me to really make an analysis about the earliest and most reliable witnesses. And when you're doing that sort of waiting. It's not easy to tell if everything that they recall. The reason we want to capture what they thought they saw was because what they thought they saw is the best that they could get. But things do adjust as people begin to see media and look at events and look at replays. So the goal is just download it and see if you can understand what they were thinking as they were going through their things. As for the Secret Service, I think it's pretty obvious. Benny Thompson, everybody should know him. He was the big black January 6th guy who was always sitting up on the stage during the January 6th thing. He was the one that proposed legislation that would authorize the removal of Secret Service protection from former presidents. And upon sentencing following conviction for a federal or state offense that's punishable in the term for a term of imprisonment for at least 1 year. So they were trying to get the Secret Service protection away from him
And
for a long time so that they could
they just dropped all this on the document yesterday.
and his field director said, next time, don't miss.
There's
How
all sorts of.
disgusting is this? Don't they understand two can play that game? I'm not going to be surprised if Biden is taken out forthwith. It's going to happen very fast. They want it to happen. The Democrats want to get rid of him. Could be one of their own people take him out, but I think his lifespan has been dramatically reduced. Catherine, I know you want to go back to
Yeah,
that.
Jim, Jimmy Dore said yesterday, if they do this to Biden, Biden gets shot, through the ear. It goes straight through, right? No damage done. He keeps going.
No brains to be splattered.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing he's proven is that he can, continue going without most of his brain being there, So.
It, love it. I made you a host again, so go ahead and give us your
So
video.
here's, let's go back to the basics because I'm still confused about the number of shooters, and it will become relevant, I think,
Okay, we
later on down
got
the
it. You
line.
can set it up over the break. We'll be right back with John Carman, Brian Davidson, and Dr. Catherine Horton. You don't want to miss a word of this.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. The hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Catherine, you got your video set up. It's interesting. Look, there's that guy in the upper left corner. I think it's supposed to be JFK Jr. I don't believe it, but that's the claim. Well, and lots of people are looking to the side. Go ahead, Catherine. It's all yours.
So at this moment, Trump's still talking. So the first shot gets fired, I think at 8 seconds into this video here. So what I did, I slowed it down. Let me just get ahead a bit because otherwise we'll just not. So people are looking to the left mostly because Trump is pointing at this huge screen. And, you know, one of the things I want to point out is that his life got saved because he looked back at the screen in the moment after the sniper fired the shot. So he was in the crosshairs, perfectly aligned. The shot, and it's a supersonic shot. The trigger is pulled, the bullet is traveling, and Trump turns his head. It's, you know, the more you think about it, the more incredible it actually is. But here we go. So now you will hear one shot, and I hope the sound carries well over Zoom, but you will hear the bullet and then the gunshot. So it goes, you know, and that's the sound profile. And you will hear it three times. And remember this sound here.
Look what happened. Oh.
Did you hear that? That was the first.
Yeah.
So that's the bullet going tick past the microphone. And then the gunshot is traveling from a bigger distance. And you will hear that three times. Consistent with one type of weapon, same sort of pattern of firing. Second.
He's already been hit in the ears.
Third. And he goes down. Now they pile on. There are two more. Did you hear the... Oh. I paused the wrong thing. I paused the share instead of pausing the video. So the other thing is when you're listening to that volley of shots, what is confusing is that there's one, there's another one, there seem to be three together. And then eventually there's, after delay, two gunshots being heard, but without bullets. They don't seem to correlate to the three bullets. So it's all kind of jammed together, and without audio analysis software, I can't tell. But the last two gunshots seem to be without bullets. So I assume those are gunshots that go elsewhere. So you hear the gunshot nearby, but you don't hear the bullet. It sounds like the police snipers, but it is very far into the game if that's the police snipers. But now what's important is at 23 seconds. So let me go ahead. You will hear one bullet, or you will hear sound like a bullet without a gunshot, or the gunshot without the bullet. So it's a different sound. So it's coming up. Hang on, let me start here. So, you know, lots has happened. The Secret Service is down there. Now listen. And screaming. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And that bullet doesn't have the same sound profile. It doesn't go tsk,
right.
It just goes tsk.
Yes.
So people who are experts in guns tell me, what was that? Was it subsonic with the suppressor?
Subsonic, right? Subsonic ammo is used for silencing. We use subsonic 9mm in the Secret Service as well. So that means it's below the range of the sound popping, and it's easily suppressed is the key word, yeah. Suppressed. So yeah.
Here, this cannot have traveled, because if it was a supersonic, you just hear the bullet and the boom separately. So this cannot have come from the gun on the roof. The laws of physics say no, this is different. Different weapon, different distance, something else. And when I play it again, somebody instantly starts screaming. It really is correlated with the shot. So listen.
So that suggests being hit by that bullet. Yeah. The party
or somebody next to you. So it's 23 here.
That guy Fusk is just oblivious.
You heard that?
What a scream. Brian, yeah. I want to get Brian back in. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I think it's very interesting. I haven't taken a look at the slowed down footage yet. I'm glad that she's got it. I think it's the most important part of the analysis. And I think you're pointing out something very important, which is that report feels and seems different than anything else. You know, this guy was supposed to be some sort of gun enthusiast. You would have thought he had selected the right weapon for the right job at the right time, at the right place, you know, being that he's, you know, tried to be on the school shooting team. And he was, according to Citizen Free Press, I think they reported that he was a member of a local gun club. And so the local gun club has confirmed that he was a member of that club. You know, did he select the right profile. Weapon? Is it a 223? What are we dealing with here? And, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answers to those questions yet. I don't think I have a lot to say on this issue until I study it better.
John, go ahead.
Silencers, and I'm glad Catherine mentioned that. And then Brian also brought up some of my history itself, because, yeah, I learned how to shoot a handgun at Camp Pendleton in the Marine Corps before I was even out of elementary school. But the profiles are there. But again, back to a regular assassin's profile, they're going to use subsonic ammunition. They're going to use suppressors or silencers. They don't want to be caught. The other guys are the patsies. They're out front. They're using regular weapons. Look at me, pop, 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 whatever. And let me describe the thing about on the explosion of a round. You hear the explosion, the bullet's already gone. Pow, it's gone. And I like the fact that Catherine mentioned about the supersonic, because it does fall within the range of what's faster than a speeding bullet, whether it hits the sound barrier, and it goes fast enough. But when they hit the subsonic, it still could do the job. It's just not coming out as fast. But that's the whole purpose of the thing, is to get away. So somebody, I think, got away. There was probably three or more shooters, but at the same level, they were going zip right by Trump into the stands are two different shooters, two different directions. And people are kind of misconstruing that. They haven't figured it out yet.
Here's the witness who said, talked about it. Listen to this. Good interview.
Someone who was here, you weren't inside the event,
nope.
But you were just outside. Tell us what you saw and what.
So we had a party here all day. You can see behind us the Brinkles Farming Greenhouse here. We had a party. And we all decided, hey, you know, when we hear Trump up there, we're going to walk up through the field, stand by the trees up there under the shade, and watch and listen to the rally, right? We couldn't see him, but we could hear him. So we walked up, and probably 5 to 7 minutes of Trump speaking, I'm estimating here, I have no idea, you know, but we noticed a guy crawling army, you know, bear crawling up the roof of the building beside us, 50 feet away from us. So we're standing there, and, you know, we're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof.
And he had a gun, right?
He had a rifle.
A rifle.
We could clearly see him with a rifle, absolutely. We're pointing at him. The police are down there running around on the ground. We're like, hey, man, there's a guy on the roof with a rifle. And the police were like, oh, what? You know, like they didn't know what was going on. You know, we're like, hey, right here on the roof. We can see him from right here. We see him. You know, he's crawling. And next thing you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, why is Trump still speaking? Why have they not pulled him off the stage? I'm standing there pointing at him for, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. Secret Service is looking at us from the top of the barn. I'm pointing at that roof, just standing there like this. And next thing you know, 5 shots rang out.
So you're certain that the shots came from that guy on the roof?
100%. 100%.
And he was up there for a couple of minutes.
He was up
you
there.
You saw him up there for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. At least 3 to 4 minutes.
And you were telling yep. the police and the Secret Service.
We were telling the police. We were pointing at him for the Secret Service, who were looking at us from the top of the barn. They were looking at us the whole time when we were standing by that tree.
Could they see
binoculars?
Could they see him?
Probably not, because the roof, the way the slope went, he was behind where they could see. But why is there not Secret Service on all of these roofs here? I mean, this is not a big place.
Did you see, I mean, obviously everyone, when the shooting started, everyone was very panicked. Did you see what happened to him at all?
Oh yeah, they blew his head off.
Okay, sorry.
Secret Service blew his head off.
Okay, just be careful because we don't even quite know who's watching, but you're pretty sure they shot the guy?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
Yep.
You saw that happen?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And did you see them go up to him afterwards or?
They crawled up on the roof. They had their guns pointed at him, make sure he was dead. He was dead, and that was it. It was over.
That's incredibly shocking.
The guy was on the roof right there. You can see the white roof right there.
Did you get a look at him? Could you?
I no, other than he was in muted colors, tan type clothing. We saw the rifle flinging around as he was trying to crawl. I mean, we saw the rifle, 100%.
Do you know about guns? Do you know what kind of weapon it was?
Oh, I absolutely know about guns, for sure. It was a rifle of some sort. I wouldn't know, you know, I wasn't close enough to read the label on it.
But it was
a rifle of some sort. Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you process what you've just seen?
I don't know what to say, man. I'll tell you is, you know, if I walked up close to there with anything that Secret Service considered a problem, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you right now. But I don't know why a guy who we're standing there pointing out to police and Secret Service is crawling up the roof.
Were you outside the security
perimeter? Yes, right there by that tree. We were outside the security perimeter. But my question is, there's only a few buildings around here. Why is Secret Service not at every building here?
Well, there's a whole bunch of questions, I think, that are going to come.
There's a whole bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Yes, she was right in front of me. She kept going back and forth right in front of me. Yes.
Tell us about her.
What? I mean, nice horse, nice lady running with a flag. Seemed very, you know, patriotic.
But what's the significance of her?
No, he asked me if I saw a horse.
Okay. All right, well, listen, I'm sorry you had to witness that. That was a terrible thing. And you just stay safe with your family and
gotcha.
Yourself. Thanks for your
gotcha,
time.
Man.
Just a couple comments of my own here. Ryan's made the excellent point. This is the wrong weapon. The AR-15 has a magazine extending down. You couldn't lie flat. You want a sniper rifle, maybe even a bolt action. But the AR-15 is the weapon of choice for the Democrats to demonize. So I think that's further proof. This is a Biden-Obama op, not actually Biden because he's totally out of it. But this kind of thing I think Barack Obama would be perfectly comfortable with. And it's just disgusting. And when you got this guy, Benny Thompson, who ran the January 6th, and then they destroyed all the evidence because it exonerated Trump, you know, he coming out with this law to deprive Trump of Secret Service and having field directors say, next time, don't miss. These Democrats are running a major risk of backlash by people who do know how to hit the target. And I'm just telling you, I won't be surprised if we wind up with Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama's head on a pike. I'm telling you, This can blow up. This is so stupid, so bad. They thought they were going to kill him. And look, it was just a miracle. If he hadn't turned his head, he'd be dead. Catherine, your thoughts.
Absolutely. Talking about the reaction of the Democrats, Jim, please allow me to share my screen one more time because I found the perfect video that summarizes the reaction and the consequence. This is off Twitter, right? And it's a lady doing a little skit about, you know, the reaction of the radical left, and it's absolutely priceless. So Jimmy Dore showed it yesterday, but it's so funny. I am in stitches every time I'm watching it, and it's exactly right. This is what the radical left thinks. So listen to this.
Hey, Trump got shot at. Got shot at? Trump got shot at. So, like, did he? Oh, yeah, he lived. Huh. Yeah, and what's worse is he looked really cool when it happened. What do you mean he looked cool when it happened? He unfortunately looked very cool when it happened. How do you look cool getting shot at? Well, like, what did he do? Pop right back up with blood streaming down his face, pump get fists in the air, shouting USA, USA, USA until a crowd of thousands joined in? That's exactly what he did. Oh. Yeah, that's really cool.
That's priceless. Dumb Democrat.
We're going to lose the election, huh? Big time.
Catherine, love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, I'll take it back. Yeah, go ahead, John, your thoughts.
I almost hate to do it, but I wanted to share a picture of the actual shooter that they shot, not Crooks. Is it okay? I'm going to show one with the regular face. I don't know if you want me to show the other one, which was the aftermath, but let's see if you can see it.
Oh, okay. We can see it.
Okay. The aftermath shot was this. Same guy. Look at his ear. See, I look at the ears. Those are identifiers. He didn't look like he had all of his teeth, but he just got shot. But back to the original. He's got earplugs. He's got the spacing of the eye sockets, the eyebrows, the nose, the mouth, the chin. Not the guy, Thomas Matthew Crooks. But it's interesting. This guy is also a Matthew Yerick, Y-E-A-R-I-C-K, I believe, or Y-E-R-I-C-K. But it's interesting because that's one of the shooters. That's the guy that was the decoy. And yet this guy Crooks was putting out a video saying, "You got the wrong guy." He knew it. So these guys were like putting stuff out there, big signals.
Brian, go ahead, Brian.
I don't trust the photo that they gave us related to, hey, this is the shooter, look, proof, Thomas Crooks is dead. The photo didn't look authentic to me until I can put the proper filters on it. I don't really want to say too much about it, but just think about what's the reality in terms of somebody taking a photograph of the dead shooter and leaking it to the press. Who all had their camera there? Who was taking pictures? Who was this person?
The picture I just showed you was an FBI source that went through a law enforcement source, but I could email it to you and you could put it on a photo forensics if you want.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that photo. I'm talking about sort of famous photo of the dead guy with the missing teeth.
That's the Yurik guy.
Yeah, that's the Yurik guy. Trump media shares spiked 30% yesterday. Truth Social shares went way up. All the Vegas betting odds on Trump being the next president have had a huge spike. I don't think there is anything anymore such as a swing state. It appears to be solidly red. Will they continue to gaslight the American public into believing that the polls show that it's still a neck and neck race after an event like this? How many people will be waking up after an event like this to the fact that the government is giving us another bullshit story that doesn't add up, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever? Will the violent rhetoric begin to change here on out? I doubt it. You've got so many different stories about different Democrats over the years that have said things. Must assassinate Trump. We got to get him out of there. We got to take him out. We can continue to harass them. What's going to change here is that what they've managed to do is continue to incite the MAGA crowd, get us more fired up, make us more cohesive. And I think what's very important is with the RNC convention coming up, I think it opens today. Trump will be there. I did get word that J.D. Vance was seen leaving his house in a hurry this morning. So I think Trump is probably going to announce J.D. Vance as his vice presidential candidate within a couple of hours at the RNC convention. And I think the MAGA team will just continue to go forward. Now, I do want to say this one thing about the Democrat mindset. You got to understand how they have to double down on their views related to Donald Trump. They get their opinions from the media. The media tells them Orange Man bad. They believe that, they repeat that, and so they have to defend that. Will they ever wake up? Well, they're going to have to admit that they were wrong in order to do so. I don't necessarily see that happening because they're so deeply indoctrinated into what they've been taught by the state and by the media puppets that have fed them. But the good news is that right now, I think it's close to 45% of the American public thinks the media is lying to them overall. And I think it's even higher when it comes to this particular assassination attempt. There's so many different magnifying glasses on this thing right now that there's just no way anybody can accept the official story. And the FBI and the clown show at the Secret Service, they don't have any credibility to investigate this. Same people that could figure out who bought cocaine into the White House are supposed to be figuring out, you know, who shot the president and how it all went down. It's just not credible anymore. And I think the good news is that alternative media is going to continue to skyrocket in terms of interest.
Catherine, yes.
My question is, so will this move Trump to finally declassify all the JFK files? Because he himself said in an interview that he wanted to, he was close to, but people said, sir, it's maybe not, it's not, the time is not right yet. Well, how about now? How about now? Right? Yeah. We almost had a rerun.
Oh, I think that's highly probable, Catherine. And the most important file missing is George Joannidis, who was a psyops for the CIA in both JFK and RFK, and they just didn't want that out because it showed how much, how deeply the CIA was involved in orchestrating the assassination, even though Lyndon was the brains behind it. It originated in Los Angeles when Jack beat him out for the Democratic nomination for president, and he forced himself on the ticket so they could take out Jack. And indeed, in the course of events, Lyndon sent his chief administrative assistant, Cliff Carter, down to Dallas to make sure all the arrangements were in place for the assassination. It's that bad. So in a way, Obama's following the LBJ-style tradition. And I really do think Obama was in part behind this. You know, he'd love to run Michelle. I think it's just so ridiculous to imagine the public is going to swoon over a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. I mean, I think the public will be repulsed, but I do think that has been his plan.
When you said huge, I did not expect shaving bill at the end.
Yeah. You know, I got all kinds of photographs of Michelle before she got her boob job and when she let her beard grow and her husband was no longer present, and one where you got this, the cost of looking good, you know, so much for the earrings, so much for the makeup, so much for the boob job, but then forgetting to tuck in your nuts, priceless.
Well, there's also the interview with Bear Grylls does with Barack Obama, where Barack Obama himself refers to Michelle as Michael. I don't think any man ever married to a Michelle would by accident call her Michael.
Look, on when Michelle danced on Ellen DeGeneres, it's obvious she has a package most women do not have. And there's just so much abundance. We got a former physician looking after her, explain how he walked into her taking a leak, standing up in a trailer. And you know, how they paid him a lot for his silence, but he couldn't remain silent any longer after what they'd done to the country. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, gentlemen, I just said to Bill the other day, you know, infrastructure around us is crumbling. The healthcare system and the education has taken a plunge into the abyss without a parachute. But entertainment is the best it has ever been in human history, isn't it true?
They're spending so much money on these illegals, Catherine. They're giving them not just green cards, Social Security, Medicare, right off the bat, things the rest of us had to work to earn for our whole lives. They don't give a shit about the American people because they think these imports are going to vote Democrat. It's just repulsive beyond words.
It's worse than that. Oh, sorry. These illegals are also being hired into the vast gang stalking or human terror stalking networks across the US, and some of them are carrying directed energy weapons in their cars. You know, they have actually branded a line into my forehead here in the US. So yeah. It's worse than that. It's worse than just them getting free health care and being asked to vote Democrats.
A lot of us think they're an army in waiting, you know, that there are caches of arms all over and they know where to get them. I was troubled years ago to discover that agencies like the EPA or the IRS were purchasing military weapons, 1 billion hollow point rounds, for which they had no discernible use. They have been stockpiled around the country, and they're going to give the word to these illegals where to find them. We're going to be in a hell of a fight, I got to say. Brian, then John. Brian.
Well, I think the big question is, where are we going to go from here? Will the deep state burn it down in order to hold on to power? Or will they try to control Donald Trump? And I think there are indications that Donald Trump, in a sense, can be controlled because of the vast resources that have been aligned with him related to the Jewish run hedge funds and BlackRock and Vanguard. Did they know? Was it something that was foreseen that Donald Trump would become this president this time around again?
We got one more break and we're going to continue our conversation here. Not taking calls today. There's too much here of value. We'll be right back with John Carman, former Secret Service, Brian Davidson, PI from Texas, and Dr. Catherine Horton, who's led the fight against targeted individuals in the legal framework. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the audience can't see it. I'm showing a photograph of what appears to be a bullet hole, small caliber, in Donald Trump's right ear. And I say, that bullet hole is worth 10 million votes. 10 million. And it solidified his support across the board. It's going to be a wipeout. Maybe Brian was saying there aren't any swing states anymore. They're all solidly red. I think the Democrats have blown it. They thought they could take him out. That was their intent. I don't have any doubt. This was a Barack Obama-inspired move to kill Trump. They've tried every other method they have. There have been a dozen previous attempts on his life. One was with a drone where it fired in the middle of the night, a rifle shot into his bedroom, and had they not changed the window to bulletproof glass, he would have been dead. Catherine, your thoughts?
My thoughts are that now I'm really worried about directed energy weapons, because those are stealth weapons. There are no bullet, holes. There's no way to track a bullet. And directed energy weapons go through even, bulletproof glass. So there's also slow kill methods. You can give people a heart attack, a stroke with these weapons. I'm really worried. But I'm also, on the upside, isn't it ironic when Gen Z gets these ear piercings, they just staple their whole ear and nobody gives a shit, and a boomer gets one ear piercing and gets 10 million votes for it? It's just not fair. Right?
Yes, I like that. Brian, your thoughts.
I'm watching all the other elections because it's important to remember that just because the Republicans gain control doesn't mean that anything changes whatsoever. We need prosecutions and we need replacement of establishment candidates along the way. There are a lot of Democrat seats coming up in the Senate that are still toss-ups that need to be focused on. I don't think any state anymore is a solid Democrat bet. So there's a possibility of a landslide in the Senate, as well as adjustments being made in the House. So, but still, that comes down to the question of, these people will not act like patriots until they're forced to act like patriots. And the only way they're going to be forced to act like patriots is if there's actual prosecutions of actual bad guys. And we still haven't seen any of that. Yes, we've got some momentum in an attempted assassination attempt of Donald Trump, but that momentum goes nowhere until we get the right people at the top of our institutions. Remember that the whole thing has failed because it's institutional corruption. They've been able to install their senior executive service people at the top of all these institutions. They've managed to corrupt the FBI. There's nobody that has faith in them right now. It appears they've managed to corrupt the Secret Service at the very top. And again, it all comes down to who's at the very top of the institution, setting policy, driving agenda, assigning investigators to different types of cases, accepting cases, dropping cases. Those are the important things that take place in the day-to-day mechanisms that run this country. And I can tell you at this point in time, I still don't see any indication that any of those things are actually, any of those mechanisms are actually going to be changed. Yes, some people will get fired. They'll get replaced with other bureaucrats along the way. But it still comes down to, remember, when Tucker Carlson did his interviews, what were the main themes? I mean, the main themes I saw was, of course, they're going to try to assassinate Trump. The lawfare didn't work. They have to try to take him out. And it looks like they're running with Joe Biden again, which is probably another mistake. And beware of AIPAC, the Jewish lobby that controls all these politicians. When will that go away? How will that be addressed? Where will it be adjusted? And how does it tie to this? Still too early to tell, but those are all things we need to be thinking about.
Wonderful, wonderful points. John, your thoughts.
Did you guys get the email I sent you with the photos?
There's a photo of a van there, the white van. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I just sent you a photo of the guy, Yurik, who was the deceased. Okay. Well,
tell us what you think is important about it.
Well, I've been monitoring this stuff, and I'm still analyzing information and intel as it comes in all the time. I'm worried that Trump, that they're going after him. They're not going to give up. If they go after him openly like this, they're going to keep on. They're going to do a full court press, possibly, and until the election has been done. Or, as Catherine and maybe Brian had indicated, maybe something will happen to Biden in between that time, because then they can hand it over to Harris or Kamala, and then that stuff can get really weird, too. Or something could happen to somebody else, and you know who's third in line, Mike Johnson. You know, Mike Johnson can always slip in there. That's always the third in line. So anything can happen. But I'm more concerned about Trump, and I'm monitoring the other news sources. They've got other people being interviewed, worried about Trump's security, because they indicated they just released the information openly about a drone that was sent to Trump's location at one time. That kind of feeds into Catherine's theories also, because they are real, folks. I've reported drones since 1991, because of a threat about smuggling. Then I talked to somebody else. I said, no, it's got to go to the Secret Service. They could do the same thing. Then what do? They put it out in the movies like White House Down with Gerard Butler. Koreans are dropping thousands of drones. They attach, boom. That's what they do. Attach, boom. They could do all kinds of chemical release stuff and poisoning. I won't go into details, but there's all these factors about how they could keep doing these things until they get rid of somebody. No matter what, they'll sacrifice their own people. Just kind of like a prophetic thing.
And I think you're absolutely right. There are going to be additional repeated attempts on Trump, but I think there's going to be blowback. I'm not going to be at all surprised. I think even the Democrats would like to see Joe Biden taken out. Catherine, your thoughts.
Oh gosh, I had so many thoughts. I almost lost my train of thought here. So yes, first of all, I mean, we have to realize we are in a situation of deep capture. So what everybody is describing is deep capture, when psychopaths, criminals migrate to the top. All of our organizations are pyramid organizations. When the top fills with them and they have the majority, you have deep capture. Now, there's only two ways to get out of deep capture. Number one, an even bigger, more powerful system comes along and kicks these guys out, or you know, a revolution from the base takes these people out. And the only chance we have to tidy this up is to really do concerted action from above and below across the world, because this is a global network. I keep emphasizing the links to MI6 and old money in Europe. George Soros is, you know, from over there. He's not technically old money, but he is big money. But there's really old money, even bigger pools than him. And they are controlling all this. So another thing that can happen, and these people have already put all the mechanisms in place, if Europe recaptures, they will relocate to Asia. So there were already moves to make the Himalayas the next Switzerland, the next Swiss Alps with their bunker systems and so on. And if you track the, I think it was the Nepalese royal family, where one guy, you know, one day went mad and killed everybody, including himself, thereby wiping themselves out. That is literally, what was that? Mind control technology, you know, microwaves, whatever. But there's all these moves. So we have to tidy this up once and for all internationally in lockstep. And the people, the American people, have to go after these criminals in court or through administrative mechanisms. At the same time, if, as hopefully Trump comes in and removes them from above, You know, there are so many and they are just so vast and they stretch all the way down to our local communities. The people who are gang stalking me when I leave the house, they mostly live where I am right now. But also, before we even get to the levers of power, Trump gets to the levers of power, we still have to get through the election. And because most of it is digital, it can be screwed up at, 2 gigahertz, whatever, right? 9 billion screws per second. So, I, for example, to give you an example how critical it is that everybody gets going and secures the election now, we have to do what Trump said, fight, 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 but smartly, logically, get into those levers of power, take back the courts. For example, here in my local area, I live in the countryside. I spoke to a woman who was part of the election system, and she was always taking helping with the elections for 36 years. And she says 2020 was the only year where she wasn't asked. She knows how the system works. She wasn't asked. When she went to vote herself, she said she didn't recognize a single soul. They were all sent from the state capitol, new team. Nobody knew them. They did it. They're going to do the same thing again. Bigger, better this time, you know? So that's the next battle line. But on the positive side, I've just hot off the news, the judge dismissed the documents case. That's what I've just heard just now, half an hour ago. So
Yes.
there is a light at the end of the tunnel. At least that judge holds up her end, but we need to back her up because otherwise she will or he will get assassinated. All those judges, right, that stand up, they have been killed already. I know of several judges who were taken out after, trying to support a targeted individual. So we now need to secure everybody, and there's no, nobody's too small to screw in the system. That's what I think.
Brian.
Well, I think right now is a good time to start talking about Senate races coming up in 2024. So obviously in Arizona, Kyrsten Sinema has been an independent. She barely captured it last time over Carrie Lake. It looks like Carrie Lake, or I'm sorry, Carrie Lake is in this time against Kyrsten Sinema for that Senate seat. In California, you've got a guy by the name of LaFonza Butler, who had 54% of the vote last time. He's being run against by a guy by the name of Steve Garvey. So there's a Senate seat that could go very well to the Republicans. Connecticut, Chris Murphy, he took 60% of the vote last time. John Flynn's running against him in Connecticut and could beat him. Delaware is another one that's going to be up. There's a guy by the name of Eric Hanson that might be able to beat him, but that's 60% Democrat. It's been that way for a long time. Florida, Rick Scott. I think he'll probably keep the seat, or I'm sorry, Rick Scott will probably keep that. Mazie Hirono's up in Hawaii. That's a very big one. And there's a lady by the name of Melba Amaral who may very well be able to beat her there in Hawaii. Indiana, Mike Braun is a Republican, and he's going to have to hold on to that seat against a guy by or a lady by the name of Valerie McCray. Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan. Very important. So is Minnesota with Amy Klobuchar, and John Berman might be able to pick that one up. There's a lot of different races that need to be paid attention to at this point in time. And I just think it's important not to miss the overall adjustment in the in what the 2025 Congress is going to look like, how the power structure could change in our favor. These committee assignments could go our way, and politically, we could be in a much stronger position. But again, I'm saying the same thing I've said before. Until the institutional corruption is rooted out, I don't think there's a much hope to change this bureaucratic machine.
After 2020, James Carville implicitly acknowledged that the Democrats had stolen 57 House seats from the Republican. 57. The corruption on the Democrat side knows no bounds. John, your thoughts?
No, just checking on another screen here. I agree with what you guys are saying. And I'm still concerned about what they're going to do in the future because they still have time to do damage. And that's the biggest problem. And I did mention that thing about the case on Trump and Mar-a-Lago. That's monumental because it took one incident, then they finally made a decision. They've got all kinds of stuff that it should have never even got to that point. They're pressing buttons. They want to push it to a civil war. They'll do it. They won't like the answer, though. They won't like the result. But I've told people about this before. What do they think they're doing? So it's suicidal what they're doing. And then, of course, you got stuff in the Gaza. You got stuff in Ukraine and Putin and all these other things. I keep thinking about Catherine's really good suggestions. The last time I saw it on an interview was about taking out certain people in London and the Vatican. You know, I'd like to get her to comment on that one and see if it's still up to date.
It's the power centers. And just for the record, because this goes out with taking out, I mean, administratively, I'm not at the point yet, you know, not that I wouldn't be ready when the time comes, but no, I work on court cases, you know, not on assassination attempts. But yes, actually, Jim, please, could you let me share my screen? Because I would like to point out some historical things. So my point is, when I analyze deep capture and the size of this international cartel, you realize that the size of it is so big that it's not, it wasn't born yesterday. You can trace it back literally through the centuries as it gained power, as it captured countries. Really, for the first time in history, we have social media and we can pass information about these crimes to each other before they can take us out. But people have been investigating this for a very long time. The reason why I go on about the city of London, as in the square mile, the extraterritorial area that most people don't know exists, and the Vatican, is because those are the traditional control structures, control points, nodes of this international network. That's how the City of London was used to funnel the money that keeps them alive, and the Vatican was in charge of brainwash, and the Vatican Bank is involved, and, you know, for historical reasons. But anyway, talking about historical references, I was struck by the similarities of certain images. So for example, let me share my screen. It's kind of funny how they try to go after Trump, and the images that arise in the situations are always eerily familiar to me. So for example, here, if you look at Trump's mugshot, the Never Surrender mugshot, when I saw it, I thought, I've seen almost the exact same image before, where? And then I figured out, remember Churchill? Never, never, never give up, right? It's almost the same look, right? This guy's really pissed off. This guy's really determined. But now, from yesterday, the assassination, the iconic image here, as soon as I saw it, I was like, dang, I've seen almost the exact same image before somewhere. You know, it's somewhere I've seen it. And then I suddenly realized it's from the French Revolution. It's almost the exact same thing. Somebody got shot, right? And the fight continues. So just look, the flag, freaking everything. How does this keep happening? Well, the reason why it keeps happening is because we're still fighting the same international cartel. So if you dig a bit, you actually figure out the French Revolution wasn't all that it was made up to be. It was run by the Freemasons. It was really asset stripping the French king. And this system has been asset stripping people around the world, other monarchies, you know. Now, in my analysis, this big global organized crime cartel is asset stripping the West, because we're ripe for picking. And don't forget the European royal families. So if you look at the British family, you know, Prince Philip died. The Queen died very shortly after. Then King Charles has cancer. Kate Middleton was rumored to have cancer. Now she has a baby. I don't know what's going on there, but King Charles has cancer. Exactly what you would give somebody with directed energy weapons, right? So in very quick succession, three senior members of the royal family are either dead or impacted, could be dead soon. So I'm strongly believe that the time correlation, all this happening, indicates that that cartel is trying to take out the British household. And I have found cartel signaling announcements of this ahead of time. I made a video about, I think, 6 years ago about this, saying that the cartel just announced in an advert in Royal Ascot, if you can read the symbols, that they want to take out the royal family, the British royal family. And this was a plan that was 300 years in the making. They literally say it in an ad. It's very, very, I have a whole video. I don't want to go into it, but it makes sense from an economic point of view. This cartel operates like a, you know, like locusts. Like a swarm of locusts. They go around the world, try to get all the assets in the country. They've asset stripped Latin America. They cleaned out Africa. They cleaned out Asia. China is now taking over Africa, but they already own China. So it's really just the puppet arms, you know, going. But now we are ripe for picking. So that is what's happening. So talking about solutions, the solution will be if number one, the American billionaires figure out that they are the ones to be stripped. If they asset strip me, they can't really get very much. Up until very recently, you would have gotten your mittens on some shitty IKEA furniture. That's it, right? But if you go after the American billionaires, now you're talking. And the European royals and old money in Europe own pretty much all the land and everything. So now this system is after them. So what we need to do to really get rid of this corruption is to get those two people to align, two groups to align, I mean.
Nick, this is just a footnote, but Nick Kohlerstrom and I 3 or 4 months ago did a thing about Kate Middleton. She appears to have been sacrificed in a satanic ritual in December. These are all fake. There's since I was a huge fan of her, nearly as much as I was of Diana, who was also, of course, assassinated. She didn't die in the automobile accident. She came through virtually unscathed, but she was put in an ambulance. She was sedated. And just about 100 yards away from the ambulance, they beat her so badly from internal bleeding, she could not survive. It's just grotesque, Catherine, what's happened here. Hate, I thought, was sensational and added so much class to the royal family. But yeah, she appears to have been sacrificed, satanic ritual in December. And there are no legitimate photographs, Sims. This is all very sad, but it's consistent with the points you're making. Brian or John, either. Brian first.
Go ahead, Brian.
Oh, you know, I probably don't have much to add to the conversation in terms of the satanic sacrifice, but remember that we can identify the problem network very easily. It already has been identified. It was identified in Pizzagate. It is the pedophilia network of blackmail, corruption, and control. They're easy to identify. It's been around for a long, long time. And so if you're asking when the dominoes are going to fall, you're going to say, when is the network going to be exposed and prosecuted? And that's really how it's going to have to go down, because the corruption starts at the top. Once you can get somebody compromised, and it might start at a very early age, once you can get somebody compromised, it's much easier to bring them along through the system, carrots and sticks, continue to keep that compromise in place and place them into positions of leadership, such as senators, such as House representatives, such as corporate CEOs. Take a look at what happened to Tractor Supply recently with their corporate CEO deciding to go woke, and that backfired tremendously. The American people aren't taking it anymore. We're starting to push back on the whole DEI agenda. I think this Trump assassination is going to add a lot of light to that particular fact. The photograph of the Secret Service woman that looks like a cartoon character trying to holster her gun with a look of absolute terror and fear on her face after loading Trump in there is going to be very powerful. Now, the woman that runs the Secret Service related to the RNC is doubling down right now, saying she's not adjusting her plans, that she's offended that the American people are suggesting that the Secret Service is inadequate or can't take care of the problem, can't fix it up. The bottom line is, I think people will begin to realize strong men need to be placed in strong positions. Weak men need to be rooted out and replaced. And even a strong woman is better than a weak man. But I don't know how things are really going to change, except I think you're going to see a continued growth of conservative mentality. Maybe it'd be nice to see people go back to church again and start praying for the nation like they ought to be doing. I just don't know if we're in that much of a crisis yet. I think it'll happen as soon as the credit cards begin to start to default and the mortgages start to default and the bottom falls out of the currency.
The latest reports in the convention are they're increasing, they're enhancing security as well. They should be. John, your thoughts here about the big picture.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that thing about the pedophile stuff. I've reported military detention disposal locations around the United States and parts of the world. Putin said he was going to cut the supply chain for the adrenochromes. That's a big hit right there. That's a hint at what we're dealing with, as you guys are mentioning, the pedophile networks and their satanic connections. It's all interconnected. And I'm worried about the RNC. I've reached out to people like that, and I talked to all kinds of people. The RNC is one thing, but they put millions and millions of dollars into this function to make a big deal out of the election, which is what they're going to do. But in Secret Service terms, nobody's that safe. Kennedy got hit because he didn't have the bubble on the vehicle that day. I've actually protected that limousine in Washington, but I'm very familiar with this stuff. So unless they walk around with a bulletproof bubble all the time, one person, they always teach this in the academy, it only takes one person who's willing to sacrifice. That's all it takes. Anybody. So whether you're martial arts or not, and all these other technical things that they can use, that's what they're up against. And it's a really hard job.
Well, just to pick up on your JFK illusion, they had a backup plan that if they didn't get Jack in Dealey Plaza, they'd get him at the Trade Mart. If they didn't get the Trade Mart, they'd get him at the Lyndon Johnson Ranch. It was the least desirable because Lyndon was behind the whole thing, but the most assured of success. So I suspect we're going to see multiple attempts on Trump. And I can only hope that the security is good enough that none of them are capable of success. My opinion, he could win this now if he never even left Trump Tower, that this thing is a shoe-in and that we don't want to run the risk of having him taken out. Catherine, I'd welcome your final thoughts for today.
My final thought is that this just, first of all, beefing up security, what does it mean? Even more useless Karens around him, you know, to stumble over? I don't know. So I want to see guys need to do guy jobs, because one of the things that the left agenda has proven, even if you take, the best trained woman, you take a female weightlifter, she will not be able to compete with somebody who's a bit crap in weightlifting, you know, never weightlifted before, but is a guy. So that is what, you know, guys in men's sports have proven to us, you know, conclusively. But ultimately, the conclusion from this assassination attempt is this: a whole nation of 350 or 60 million people cannot rely on just one 75-year-old man. He is holding up his end. I mean, heck, he got shot, got up and told us what to do. But now we need to get up off our own asses and actually go and do something about it systematically. We need to be intelligent. We need to learn how our own legal system works and how we can take out these corrupt people and do our own forensics and analysis and go after it.
Listen, this has been a great honor to have the three of you join me today. One of the most important interviews of my lifetime. Thank you for being here. Everyone, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. And support Revolution Radio.
Listening to Revolution Radio.